Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad you showed up, neighbor. Amen. So we're in this new series entitled How to Neighbor, and we're talking about, over the coming weeks, about what it means to be a neighbor and how God is calling us to be a neighbor. And today I want to share our scripture today. Our scripture really is just one verse today that I want us to focus on, and that verse is found in John 10:10. In John 10:10, the word of the Lord says, I have come that they may have life. Can everybody say life? And have it to the full. Can everybody say to the full? Well, if you weren't here last week, let me just catch you up on what's going on here. Last week, we talked about the great commandment. The story of Jesus, in which an expert of the law came to Jesus and said, what is the greatest of all the laws? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so here at LFCN, we understand the importance of being good neighbors. We believe that the call to love our neighbors should be intentional and it should be specific. We believe that this call extends from our neighborhoods that we live in around to around the world. Let me give you an example just this week of how I've seen LFCM be good neighbors. Last Sunday, I came to you guys and I said, guys, there's a dramatic event in Texas and the floods, and there's another one coming on the way of the hurricanes. I never made an announcement to any of you. I never said that we're going to do it. But at last Sunday, just we decided that we were going to take up a love offering because it's the right thing to do. So last Sunday, our response to the new How to Neighbor series was take up an offering on behalf of those flood victims. I just want to let you know that last Sunday, LFCN raised nearly $4,000 for the flood relief. Can you give God a hand? That's just awesome. I just want to let you know that this coming Wednesday, we have a team that's leaving here to head to Florida. The storm is hitting right now. Here at LFCM, we've already organized a team that will be leaving here on Wednesday. If you have questions about that and you think it might be something you want to do, then you can talk to Pastor Caven. But here's the thing. How are we good neighbors? Well, we're good neighbors when we say, hey, we realize there's going to be damage. We realize there's going to be need, and so we're going to do that. Do you know, I don't even think you know, Pastor Caven, but I'm going to ask you. Over the last week and a half, we've been collecting crisis care kits in order as a response to the flood results. You have any idea about where we are on crisis care kits? 200. About 200 crisis care kits have already been collected. Give God a hand. That's how you be a good neighbor. This week, Camden and I was talking about the fact that he is going on our next trip to Guatemala at the end of December. We've adopted a village in Loma del Viento, Guatemala, where we've already brought them clean water, and we're going back to build a school, and eventually we're going to build a church. And I was talking to Camden this week about how he really needed to get on it because he's raising money to go to Guatemala. Is there a need in Guatemala? Absolutely. Can Camden go and help meet a need? Absolutely. But what I know is he's the one going to benefit from it because he's going to be stretched by God both to raise the money and also to go, and out of that it's going to teach him how to be a better neighbor. And that's important for me as a father. You know, this Wednesday we were a good neighbor. We fed 60 some odd families out of our food pantry this week just in one day. God is calling the church to be full of people who are good neighbors. Can I get a hallelujah today? And so today we move forward. I want to talk to you today about one particular barrier that is extremely, extremely important. I want to talk to you about time. How many of you have enough time in a day? Okay. I want to show you what I gave you last week. Last week I gave you a grid. I ask you all to consider this and to fill it out. If you weren't here, you can maybe make your own grid on a piece of paper and do it. But pretend you're in the middle. I want you to consider where you are. Some of you are in dorms. Some of you are in apartment buildings. Others of you are in neighborhoods. Some of you live out in the country. But if I ask you to consider all the neighbors that live around you, let me ask you this. Could you tell me all their names? Could you tell me the names of all your neighbors? And then secondly, I asked you last week, can you tell me something about that person, something that you might be able to figure out? And then I ask you this, can you tell me something about them that you would only know as if you connected with them, like you know their dreams or their desires or whether or not they received Jesus? And what I've said last week was this, you can't love something you don't know anything about. And God has called us to go to Guatemala, yes. He's called us to go help the flood victims in Florida, yes. He's called us to feed neighbors through our food pantry, yes. But he's also calling you and I individually to be a good neighbor to those around us. I was really proud of my wife this week. I preached last Sunday. We didn't have any conversation about it that I remember, but I came back the early part of the week. And she had gone to the store, and she had baked cookies, and she had put them all in bags, and she left them on the counter for our neighbors. And then we sent a photo to Walmart of our entire family, and almost like a Christmas card that wasn't a Christmas card, you know what I'm saying? And on that is a picture of us, five strikingly handsome and gorgeous individuals. And we put in the right column, it is really good to live in Autumn Run, and we're so glad you're our neighbors. And yesterday, Mike and I grabbed a plate of those cookies and we walked across the street and I rung the doorbell and I introduced myself to a new neighbor. She already knew I was a pastor. She already knew some things about me. And then immediately she started asking me questions about the church. I'm going to be honest with you, my motives were pure. I didn't go over there as Pastor Stephen. I didn't have a business card on me for the church. I just simply wanted to go over there and be a good neighbor. And out of that, we struck up a conversation. You see, friends, our neighbors, they want to be a good neighbor, and they want to be surrounded by good neighbors. Lord, help us. The problem is, all of us want this, but the truth of the matter is, we have to ask ourselves a very important question. And here's the question that I have for you. Do we live at a pace that allows us to be available to those who live around us? Do we live at a pace that enables us to be good neighbors? You know, honestly, if we answer yes to this, we are actually living counterculturally. Because we live in a society that values production, that values results and activity. And we tend to run from one activity to another, and our inboxes are often full of emails, and we have so much to do. Today, for instance, let me give you an example. Today in our society, we have more time-saving devices than ever. I want you to think about this. We have more time-saving devices than ever, yet we still seem to be busier than we've ever been. Let me give you an example. For instance, we can make phone calls now while driving down the road. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a great idea, but we can. Kids, I want to let you know something. It's really weird, and you're going to know I'm old. But actually, my phone when I was your age was connected to the house. And I felt blessed that I convinced my mom to actually buy one of those stretchy things to where I could actually talk across the room. Again, can I get an amen from all the old people? Right? And so now we can multitask. We can drive down the road and we can call people. This is even better. We don't even have to watch those stupid commercials anymore. We just hit a button on our television and it records our favorite shows. Wow, Jesus just came back, I think. We record our favorite shows, and we don't even have to watch the commercials. And what a great idea. And there's this other brilliant idea. I'm a little bit jealous, but my brother Bill actually has a robot that vacuums his floor. I need me one of those, right? And if I was going to tell you all the modern technologies that helps us in our time, many of us would go, well, if I had all those things, what am I going to do with my extra time? But the truth of the matter is we're busier than we've ever been. Oh, Lord, help us. David Runyon says this, we put our heads down and zip to work, dropping the kids at school or daycare on the way. We eat on the run while having meetings on the fly. We get home late at night, watch TV, check our messages, hang out with our kids. We send text messages, do the housework, pay the bills, and crash. Then we wake up the next morning and do it all over again. If that sounds familiar today, would you just testify by saying, yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. If your neighbor didn't say, yeah, I get it, they're a liar, we'll have an altar call at the end for them. Many of us live unbalanced lives. And for us to even consider overcoming the imbalance, we got to realize that there's three lies that we're all subscribing to. And if you're a note taker today, you're going to have a great time. I got some ways for you to take notes. I'm going to give you three lies today. There are pens in the back of the chairs, and you can write on the back of your bulletins. The first lie is this: one day things will slow down. Y'all ever heard that one? Like, does this sound familiar? If I can get through Friday, things will slow down and I'll just be fine. Have you ever said that? Well, then Friday shows up and everything blows up and there are yet more deadlines. And we keep looking to next week and we're thinking, man, if I could just get to there, things are going to slow down. It's a lie. There's another lie. More will be enough. This lie tells us if we can make one more purchase or capture one more achievement, we will reach contentment. If we can just buy more and do more or be more, then things would be better. You know, I heard it once said that there was a famous millionaire that was asked this question: of all your millions, which of your millions are your favorite? And his response was, the next one. The next million is my favorite. But we live constantly thinking, well, if I can buy this one more thing, or if I can achieve this promotion, or if I can do this, or if I can do that, then I'm going to reach contentment. And the truth of the matter is, it's a lie, because there will always be something shinier. There will always be something newer. There will always be something more appealing right around the corner. There will always be somebody above us. And we need to realize that. The third lie that we're often told is everyone lives like this. You know, being overly busy is just seen as a reality that we can never overcome in our culture. Everyone lives at a frantic pace, so let's just join the race. I mean, this may offend you. However, I want to let you know everybody doesn't live at that pace. I've told the story before, but there's a special part of the story that I want to talk about today. I run, but I'm not a runner. Caven's a runner. I run. So I've run in one competitive race my whole life. I ran in a 5K over in Forest a number of years ago. So Caven decided he was going to run with me. And so I don't know if you've noticed Caven. He's a couple of inches taller than me. So I have to take 7 steps for his every one step. But that's another story. And so we ran together, but I'm a pretty competitive guy. So I got one of the guys who was a part of our church to actually show up at the race. And I got him to actually sit next to this bridge 2 or 3 tenths of a mile into the race. Okay? You know where this is going. And so they fired the gun. And when they fired the gun, I'm pretty good at sprinting. And when they fired the gun, I took off like it was a 100-yard dash. Man, I blew everybody off the line. There was not a single person in front of me. And about 2 or 3 tenths of the race, miles into the race, I was winning first place. Guess who was right behind me? Caven, wondering what in the world was going on. Mark Stevens took the picture. And about 200 yards on the other side of the pitcher from where I'm beating Caven, he blows my doors off, and I'm looking for another lung. So I ran as hard as I could, and I ran, and I did pretty good. I kept at a pretty good pace, but Caven, he's way out in front of me. I mean, God knows he wasn't running with me. He was just trying to beat me. How unchristian is that? But my eyes wasn't on Caven, and there was one minute that I thought, you know what, here's what I'll do. I'll stop, and I'll walk for about 30 seconds to actually catch my breath and let my heart catch up with my lungs. And then after that, I'll start running again. So I'm still walking at a pretty strong pace, and as I'm walking, you're not going to believe what happened. This woman comes running by me. Yeah, she's a lady. I wouldn't even have noticed her, but then she said something to me. How dare her? She ran by me and on her way by me said, "Sir, are you okay?" At which time I said, "I want to hit you." No, I didn't. I thought it. immediately as she goes running by me and she says, "Sir, are you okay?" That everything within me wanted to take off running again and blow her doors off and go, "I'm absolutely okay." And we, you know what though? Many of us, we live that way in life. We see people coming and we see them going and we see, and here's what I want to say to you. Many of us are extremely overworked. We're too busy. Our lives are crazy. But the truth is, even when our lives aren't crazy, we feel like we need to pretend we're really busy because the culture says if you're busy, then you're important. And if you're not busy, then you're not important. I can't tell you the number of times people have called me or texted me or sent me a message through social media and they've said something like this, "Hey, Pastor, I know you're extremely busy and I don't want to bug you." You know my response to them often is this, "I'm not nearly as busy as you are." Because can I be really honest with you? The first 6 years of my ministry here at LFCN, I wanted this church to think that there was a telephone booth in my office and that I had a cape and that I was flying all over the city saving the world. You know what that was? That was as much about me trying to gratify my own desires than it was about the kingdom of God. And one of the things that the Lord convicted me of is if I, as your pastor, don't model for you a life of balance, and if I, as your pastor, don't model a life that has some balance in it, then who am I? And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not always successful. I'm just going to tell you. But you know what I want to do? I want to model a life of balance. Because there's many of us, we are so out of balance, and we're so tired, and we're so busy. Let me give you a fact. The most healthy life ever lived was Jesus. He also got a lot done. However, when we study his life, we don't see one who was hurried. And it's for this reason that Jesus came to offer us a different way to live. And Jesus says in John 10:10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." But you got to listen. The full that Jesus was offering wasn't referring to a packed schedule. He meant a life that is full of abundance instead. A life that is full of good decisions and right priorities. A life in which we understand that God's Spirit wants to lead us and guide us to make good decisions. Because here's what I want you to know, and you can write this down. God cares about how we manage our time. Because the psalmist states in Psalm 90:12, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." You see, in essence, listen closely, this is so important. I want to use my time for the things that really matter to God. Let me ask you this. I say that. I want to manage my time in such a way that I'm concerned and that I am honoring God with my time. If you're with me, would you say amen? Have you heard the old adage, time is money? That is the biggest lie ever. Because you know what? The guy who dies and only has 25 cents to his name will end up having more money than he will time. Time is not money. Time means so much more and matters so much more. And so I gave you the three lies of society. Today I want to give you three things that can help you begin living John 10:10, where Jesus said, "I have come to give you life, and not any ordinary life, but I have come to give you a life of abundance and fullness." The first one is this: make the main thing the main thing. You say, "Well, Pastor, what are you talking about?" I've used this illustration before here at LFCN, but many of you don't even know what you had for lunch yesterday, and others of you weren't here when I did this illustration. Today, I want to share with you that this represents your life, and your life is extremely full. I mean, you can't even go through all that your life has in it. I mean, your life is just extremely full of stuff. And today, if I was to submit to you, well, I've got something else to add. I want to add God into my life. the big rock, the cornerstone, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What many of us catch ourselves doing is we keep trying to jam God into our lives, because we, all of us, we have good hearts and we desire to please God. Certainly we do. But the truth of the matter is we work so hard to try to get God working and moving into our lives, and we just feel so guilty because it just doesn't seem to have enough time, and we want to do more for God and we want to do these things, but we just don't have the time to do it. And so we spend our lives this way. But see, God wants us to look at it differently. What God wants us to do is He actually wants us to empty our lives of everything else that doesn't belong to Him. He wants us to take all of the details and all of the responsibilities, and He wants us to empty ourselves of those and say, God, you know what I want to do? Before I consider all of those other responsibilities, what I want to do is I essentially want to make you center of my life. God, I want you to be center of my life. Oh God, would you be center of my life? And when we empty ourselves of all of that stuff and all of those responsibilities and all of those things, and we make Him center of our lives, we realize that all these other things need to be applied. But this strange thing happens. It all begins to fit. It all begins to make sense. And see, many of us, we've been working so hard to try to make it all work, but the problem is we've not been making the main thing the main thing. And as a result, we live quiet lives of desperation, just trying to make it all work. What if every man and woman and boy and girl in this room today decided that they would empty themselves of all things in order to make Christ center? How would it look different? The second thing we can do to live life to the full is eliminate the time stealers. Look at your neighbor and say, you better be careful here. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If I waited to get a handle on this message before I preached it, I would probably be preaching it at Runkin Pratt when I'm like 90 years old. So listen, I'm not just preaching to you, man. I'm preaching to me. You got to listen. But let me ask you about the time stealers. You say, what are you talking about? It would be staggering for us to actually do a study on how much time we all spent watching television, surfing the web, playing games on our phones, playing video games, logging into Instagram, logging into Snapchat, logging into Facebook. I mean, you know what? We won't do it. It's impossible to do it. If I ask you how much time you spend on things like that, if I got an answer from you, you'd probably be lying. But if we put it all together, it would be staggering to us. Now, you're like, oh, well, pastor's preaching against social media. No, listen to me. These pastimes aren't evil. They're just useless. Obviously, these pastimes are fine as long as moderation is considered. Some of you women get it, some of you don't. There's a lot of men that's involved in fantasy football. You know about it? Go Steelers. Had to work that in, being this week one. And it is fantasy football. I had a guy in the church after the first service, and I play on a fantasy football team. And he came up to me. He said, were you preaching that this morning so I would drop out of our fantasy football league? I said, no, I preached that this morning so you wouldn't spend a whole lot of time researching it so I could beat you. I mean, these things are okay. But the question I have, are they in moderation? Because I think many of our lives are jammed so full of stuff that in the end, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, they are useless to the kingdom of God. Oh God, would you help us? Would you help us to eliminate these things that steal so much of our time? You know, if you ever find yourself in Florence, Italy, and I just want to let you all know, if any of y'all decide to go to Florence, Italy, it'll be a major sacrifice, but Lisa and I will volunteer if you want to take us with you. Lisa's been annoying me about wanting to go somewhere like that. So we'll go with you. We'll be your tour guides, okay? If you know anything about Florence, Italy, you know that Michelangelo's statue of David is there. And if you know anything about the statue, you know that Michelangelo actually just took a large block of marble and simply took away everything that wasn't the masterpiece. So check this out. David said, I have a block of marble. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to find David in that block of marble. And so what he did was just simply whittled away everything that was not David. And afterwards, he had one of the greatest masterpieces that the world would ever know. Here's my point to you spiritually. God wants us to become professional in the art of elimination. And here's the thing. We can't do it ourselves. We need God's help. If you know that to be true today, say amen. We need God's help. What if all of us decided, does this activity that I am currently doing, or this thing that I'm committed to, or this area of this, or this area of this, God, is this something that you want for me? Is this something that you want to do? Many of you knew that I grew up playing a lot of sports. I grew up playing basketball, and I have a great passion for basketball, and I'm from North Carolina, and it's wonderful. There came a time, though, I'm just going to be honest with you, that my boys, my older two boys, were playing competitive basketball, and they got into travel basketball. And we had to make a decision as a family. My first response was, I'm going to coach their travel basketball. And I got with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and we put a team together for a couple of years, and I would call the tournament sponsors, and I would say, hey, we would like to bring our Fellowship of Christian Athletes team to you, and we would like to play in that tournament this coming or whatever weekend, but here's just one thing you need to know. We don't play on Sunday. We worship on Sunday. So if you can't schedule us to play all of our games on Saturday, we can't come. And do you know what? There were some of these directors of these tournaments. You know what they said? We can absolutely honor that. Send us your money and we'll make sure all your games are on Saturday. And we would do it. And then there were some other people that were leading the tournaments. And you know what? They thought I had something growing out of my head. Are you crazy? Because here's what I want to share with you guys. There's hard calls to make. But we are called to be responsible for our time on this earth. And here's what I know. If we are going to really, really understand what the abundant life is, I think we ought to start asking Jesus about what our schedules look like. Can I get a yes, sir, that's right from you?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Thank you for being so respectful. You say, well, Pastor, what are you trying to get to today? Here's what I want to say to you. Your life matters. And what we need to understand is we can be used mightily for the things of God if only we will allow His Spirit to work and move in us. And that brings us to the third point that seems to go against the other two. Here's the third point that I want to make today, and that is this. Our lives need to allow for interruptions. How willing are you to be inconvenienced? Can I ask you that? I'm going to tell you, God has kind of a sense of humor because I didn't do that well this week. And we all have weeks like that. Earlier in the week, we had a memorial service for our friend Al Lambert, who went on to be with Jesus. And so I had preparation for that memorial service, and Rich and Jessica, so good to see you here. I love you. Thank you for being here. And then Friday night, I had a I had a wedding rehearsal. So I was at that, and Saturday night I was at a wedding, and earlier in the week, did I say something wrong? The lights are flashing. Wow. We're kind of going with a nightclub theme here. There'll be fog machines and alcohol in a few minutes. Just kidding. And I thought I had said something wrong, and then I get distracted and say something wrong. So there you go. And so this week was really hard on my schedule, and God only understands that, and He gets that every single time. But here's the thing. I want you to know that one of the best things that happened to me all week never made it on my schedule. Kevin is my executive pastor. He knew how busy my schedule was this week. And we had somebody show up at the church, and he ministered to this individual. And then they asked if I was here. And he said, give me a second. And Kevin came down the office. He said, Stephen, I know you're crazy, but so-and-so's here. Do you have time? And the Spirit answered the question for me. And I said, absolutely, I got time. I'm going to tell you this. It was the most Spirit-filled meeting I had all week. It never made it on my phone. It never made it on my calendar. It never made it in I'm going to do this. But I'm grateful that this week, in that particular situation, that I allowed for the interruption. Because I recognize that in the inconvenience, God was there. But I want to let you know something. I'm that guy who's 5 minutes early. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I'm that guy. Like some of you, you're like, never me. You know? But I'm that guy. I am boom, 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 boom. I want to be where I'm supposed to be. And I don't want to be interrupted. And I want things to flow the way. And I'm going to be honest with you. I wonder how many times I've just not been willing to be inconvenienced. And as a result of that, I've not really been able to prescribe to the abundant life. But I want to share something with you. What if every person in this room who has accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior would say to God, God, my schedule is your schedule. Your plan is my plan. I'm going to listen to you, and I'm going to look for direction. And I'm going to eliminate those things in my life that I don't think bring you honor or that you care anything about in order that I might be able to fill my life up with something that has meaning. And so when you leave here today, I'm going to stop the service a little bit early today because I want to give you an option. Message is going to be over in just a couple of minutes. And I'm going to invite you, if this is your church and you're not currently a part of a particular ministry here, I want you to go out around these tables before you leave today and meet some of our leaders who are ministry leaders and consider, and maybe you can ask some questions about ways to serve. I mean, there's everything from nursery to tech team to worship team to greeters, to youth ministry, to children's ministry. There's all kinds of ministries that get involved here if you want to be a part of it. LU kids, Lynchburg College kids, Randolph College kids, we'd love for you to get involved as well. But here's what I want to say to you. Do you know something? If you go out here in the lobby and you start asking questions about ministry opportunities and you ask questions about service and you say all that, say yes to all of that, guess what? You're going to have to say no to something else. And there are some of you here that none of those ministries out here are for you to do because you're already downtown working at the Daily Bread or you're already doing some other kind of ministry. Because here's what I want to say. The kingdom of God is not just Lynchburg First Church of the Nazarene. The kingdom of God is far bigger than LFCN. Can I get an amen? And so maybe you're visiting today and you don't even live in the area. Or maybe you're visiting today and you go to a church across town. I just want to say to you, go back to your community. Go back to your church. Go back to wherever and just decide you're going to be a good neighbor. It's not just about LFCN. But here's what I know, and I'll close with this. I did the wedding last night, and they asked me to stick around after the wedding to bless the food. And so I was going to do that, and after I bless the food, I always got to eat the food. That's only part of it. I mean, you know. And so I was, after the wedding, I was hanging out. And as I was hanging out, I was just meeting people. And I met this really nice couple. And we got talking, and they told me where they lived. God has such a great sense of humor. They told me where they lived. And I said, you know what? I said, we have two families in our church that live in your neighborhood. And they go, really? And I said, yeah. And I told them the first family, and they were like, yeah, I'm not sure we've had an opportunity to meet them yet. And then I told them the second couple, and all of a sudden, this lady got the biggest cheesemo grin you have ever seen in your life. And she was like, you're kidding me. She was like, we know them. And we not only know them, they have been inviting us to come to church. And we're almost running out of excuses. And they were like, you're the pastor of that church. And they were blown away. And then the husband confessed. He said, as soon as you told me there were two families in our neighborhood that came to your church, I, in my mind, already knew who it was. Just some people being good neighbors. And you know what? Whether those good neighbors of yours come to LFCN, or they go to Heritage United Methodist Church, or they go to Heritage Baptist Church, that's not the point. The point isn't, I'm going to go be nice to my neighbor so I can get them to come to my church. No, the point is bigger than that. The point is, I am going to be a good neighbor so that I can show them the love of Jesus, so that I can minister to them and I can love them no matter what situation they're in. And some of those neighbors that we love on are already believers, and they're already plugged into churches. But some of our neighbors, you know what? They are lost, and they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they are in need of someone to take the great commandment seriously and be a good neighbor. You know what I know? If we became a church of good neighbors, we could change the world. So I'm depending on you. God's depending on you. Whether you live in a dorm at Liberty University, whether you live in an apartment on Timberlake Road, whether you live in some type of subdivision in town or out of town, or whether you live on a 40-acre plot way out in the country, God is calling you to know your neighbors. God is calling you to not just live next to your neighbors, but to love your neighbors so that they might come to know and experience the love of our great God. Would you pray with me? Lord, today we thank you for your goodness and grace today. And God, I pray that you would help us to be a church that loves you and loves others and that are willing to serve. God, help us to be a church that is committed to being good neighbors. God, we don't have it all figured out here. We don't have all of our T's crossed. We don't have all of our I's dotted. But God, if we would just become a church of people that are good neighbors, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we could change the world. I thank you for those that are already being good neighbors. And I pray, God, that all of us would rise to the occasion to be the people of God that you have called us to be. For we ask it in your Son's name, and all of God's people said. So here's your response today. Would you allow the Spirit to lead you and guide you today? As you walk through these doors today, some of you will head right out of the doors to the car. You'll get in your car and you'll head off to wherever you're at. But there's others of you, the Spirit of God is saying to you, you know what, you need to serve. You need to hook in to the kingdom. You need to find a place where you can minister to others. And we got all of our ministry tables and our ministry leaders set up for those of you who feel willing to go by and see them. Also, if you're visiting with us today, before we dismiss, we ask that you come see Pastor Beard, Pastor Brad, at our Connect room and say hi to him. And then I need my regular folk to pick up this left side only of chairs in order that we can get prepared for our women's event on Wednesday night. Why don't you stand to your feet right now? Do me a favor. Hug your neighbor. Tell them you love them. You're dismissed.